Genesis chapter number 17. Amen. So good to be here today with you good folks. Welcome to all of our visitors. Thank you for being in the house of God. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost and you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, we invite you to give God that opportunity to fill you with His Spirit, baptize you in His name. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Genesis 17 and verse number 1. And when you get there, say amen.
Amen.
And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. I want to preach on a simple thought today. Don't let your past keep you from the promise.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Don't let your past keep you from the promise. Can you put your Bibles down? Let's pray together this morning. God, we come before your presence. God, I humbly ask you to help me to minister your word to your people. God, today you knew who would be here, Lord. God, you know everybody that is here. You know them by name. God, I'm asking you to help me to God to deliver the burden of my heart to the great people of God. And those that are visiting here today, God, I ask that you somehow reach down, God, today and open their ears of understanding and let them hear your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. And can the church say amen?
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. As the children and young people in Sunday school, I am mindful of the time. And I'm usually in a higher gear than I am right now. But I want to say a few things before I launch into the Word of God. I do want to say what an honor and a privilege it has been to come to Sparks, Nevada these past now 4 Sundays and be here part of this church. Amen. My intentions and my goal have been just to be a blessing and to be a part of a great church. And I want to compliment this church and its leadership in the absence of your pastor. God bless you, men. God bless every song leader, every service leader, everybody that has stepped up in the absence of your pastor. I know it's never an easy thing when a man of God leaves, and you got to step in and take charge and help out. God bless you to all the musicians. God bless Pastor and Sister Newman's family for being here and being a strength unto them. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I believe it was last Tuesday morning. It was Wednesday morning. So this Wednesday morning, I was awakened about 2:15, 2:11 in the morning. And I just rolled out of bed and I sat up on the side of the bed and I said, God, what is this? What am I feeling? What am I feeling? Why have I woke up so early? I don't usually wake up that early. But I did, and I just sat there, and I said, God, what is this? I believe the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, speak this word to my church at Souls Harbor. And I said, God, what is the word? What would you have me to say? And this doesn't happen a lot. It doesn't happen often. And this is what came to me. Tell them, don't let your past keep you from the promise.
Right.
Oh, amen, amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
I didn't know who would be here today, but God did. Amen. God keeps perfect records. Yes. I want you to know
Amen.
That.
Right.
I can't keep perfect records. In fact, I got very, very bad short-term memory loss. So I don't remember a lot of things in the past couple years, much less the past few months. But I will tell you this. I remember Wednesday morning, 2:11, 2:15, whatever my phone said, whatever my clock on my phone said. I said, God, what do you mean? What is this? And you know, it's for somebody that God knew was going to be here today. And God's got a word for you. Don't let your past keep you from the promise.
Right. Yes, sir.
Look at somebody next to you and say, everybody has a past.
Everybody has a past.
Everybody has a past.
Yep.
Amen. And can I say this morning, it is the enemy's job to constantly remind us of our past.
True. Yeah. That's right.
He is, the Word of God teaches us, the accuser of the brethren.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
It is the enemy's job to constantly condemn us and remind us and put those heavy weights in our mind and in our conscience to keep us bound to our past.
Come on. Right.
So that he can keep us from the promise.
Right.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Yes. From the promise. Oh, I'm gonna get here in a minute, but I wanna make sure that we understand that there's an enemy at large that wants to keep us from the promise.
Right.
Right.
He really does. That's his job. And it, you know, when you're not living for God, I've experienced in helping people and working with people that most people that don't actively live for God and have the Holy Ghost, they're not really bothered by their past. They're not really conscious of what they did yesterday.
Amen.
Or the day before, the month before, 2 years ago, or 10 years ago. They seemingly just live day by day. And their past never dogs them. And that's why they continue on their present course. Because there's never a voice reminding them of their yesteryear or their yesterdays.
Right.
Whether they did good or whether they did bad, there's never a constant reminder reminding them. There's never a voice saying, hey, remember what you did?
Yeah, come on.
Right.
That's why sin perpetuates itself in their life.
Right.
That's why they can keep doing wrong and doing evil, because they're never reminded what they did yesterday.
Right.
The only thing that reminds them of what they did yesterday is Brother Derek when they wake up with a hangover on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And they spend all day Sunday trying to recover from Friday and Saturday night.
Right.
Right.
So their past really doesn't bother them that long. But when it comes to the people of God, you let God break somebody out of sin, out of the world, out of the degradation of life, and you watch what Satan tries to do to that person once they're filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. They can't even walk into the house of God without being bent over with condemnation and guilt.
Right.
I'll tell you what the enemy's job is. The enemy's job is to keep us brought down in our past.
Right.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah. Right. That's his job. Is to remind us of our past. To keep us locked in our past. But that is not the will of God concerning God's people. God's will for our life is to move forward and press forward to the promise.
Right.
And if you haven't received the promise yet in your life, I want to tell you that if you haven't received the Holy Ghost, if you just keep praying, if you just keep coming to church, if you just keep repenting, if you just keep saying, I'm sorry, there's going to come a time in life where God's going to give you the promise. There was a time in Abraham's life where he made a very horrible, horrible mistake. And in that, he allowed his wife to talk him in. And I'm just going to, can I just speak in the Word of God today? Can I just We're all adults here for the most part.
Come on.
He really blew it. He listened to his wife, and he went and had a relationship with the bondwoman, Hagar, and she bare unto him a son. Why did he do this? Because he was not willing to wait on the promise.
Right.
They were not being patient, Sarah, Abraham. They were not willing to wait on God's word, God's promise. And so, because of their disobedience and their lack of insight and their lack of willingness to just obey God, they had to live with the consequences of their choices.
Right.
Amen. And so we understand through the word of God, it goes on in verse number 15, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt call her name Sarah. But Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her. You see, sometimes the enemy wants to convince us that we've blown it, we've made mistakes, we've messed up, God doesn't love us, God doesn't want to bless us. And here we find in God's word, God is saying, even though you blew it, even though you messed up, I'm still going to bless you.
Yes,
I'm going to tell you why, because when God makes a promise and God tells somebody something, God's not a liar. God's not a man that he should not keep his word. I'm going to tell you, he's a promise keeper, not the promise breaker. We break our promises. We go back on our word, but God never will. I said, God never will. God's not a man that he should lie. We never have to worry about God breaking his promises. We never have to worry about God keeping his word. Hey, amen. If it's bad for us or if it's good for us, God is going to keep his word. If we're disobedient, God says, I'm going to discipline you for it. Well, then he's going to discipline us for it. It's going to come. And if we do good, well, then he's going to bless us, and that blessing's going to come. That's why it pays to live for God. That's why it pays to do what's right. Because I said it a couple weeks ago, we reap what we sow. We really do. In the good times and the bad times, whether we are in God or out of God, we reap what we sow. You do 120 miles down the freeway, you get stopped. Don't cry some sad song to the CHP or the NHP, because they're going to give you a big fat ticket, and you just need to look at the officer and say, you know what? I got what I deserve because I was doing 120 miles an hour.
Right.
Well, praise the Lord. A couple of weeks ago, we were leaving on a Monday, and we were headed out of town. We were going through that construction zone. I was like, man, that highway patrol just clocked me doing 67 miles an hour in a 55. And as I was passing by him, he hit his sirens, not his lights, his sirens. And I cringed. I said, oh God, I don't want a ticket, not in Nevada. I don't even know what they charge people for tickets here. Now, I know in California what that ticket would have been. Way over $1,000. Way over $1,000 for doing double in a construction zone. Yeah, it's bad. And so I cringed. I cringed because I knew I was doing wrong. I looked down at my speed and I said, oh, I blew it. Oh, God. And all I heard was a siren. Whatever it did. Something like that. And I looked at my wife and go, oh no, I'm going to get a ticket. He's going to pull out. He's going to stop me. Oh, I'm driving. And he never came. I started thanking God for that.
Yeah.
I said, God, thank you for having mercy on me today.
Yeah.
God, thank you for not letting that highway patrol come and give me a big old fat ticket.
Yeah.
God, I don't want a ticket. But sometimes you see in life when we're doing wrong, and we get stopped for it, we just need to accept the consequences. I'm just going to tell a story. Years ago, I'm going to take my time because last time I was way too short, couldn't get my message across, and Sunday school was still in session. So I'm just going to preach this morning.
Yes.
Y'all just sit down, buckle up, and just hold on for the ride. Amen.
Amen.
Just enjoy it. You don't have cup holders because we don't believe in drinking in the church. So if you don't have cup holders, forget your cup holders. Just enjoy the journey with me. And so several years ago, I was a young man. Well, that was a long time ago, actually. And I actually had hair, so that was an even longer time ago. And praise God. We were out in the rural areas of Madera, and we were driving to my mom and brother's house and out in the Madera Ranchos, babe. And I always had a habit of blowing through a three-way stop. Okay? And I would always go this way because the stop sign was three ways, but there was nothing but fields on this side, a house right here, and fields everywhere else. And then houses way down to my right. So anytime I would go visit my family out in the country, I would blow through that stop sign doing 25, 30, sometimes 50. Amen. And so I was going through the stop sign, and I went all the way past the stop sign, made a left-hand turn, and I was only a couple hundred yards from my family's house. And I heard something, Brother Derek, that was really odd to me. I heard some sirens. I went, what the world? So I looked at my rearview mirror. Brother Hogan, what's this got to do with your message? Just relax. We're going to tie it all in. And I looked at my side mirror, and I said, man, there's a CSB behind me. Way out in the boondocks. Way away from any freeway. There was no freeways nowhere around where we were at. What is a California Highway Patrol doing way out in the boondocks?
Yeah.
I thought, you know, if I was over on Avenue 12, which is the main way through the Valley area, 99, I could see him stopping me and giving me a ticket. But he was in the boondocks, Brother Josh. What's he doing in the boondocks? Only crazy people and cattle and dogs and cats and squirrels are in the boondocks. So I pulled over. I thought, man, what did I do? I really was kind of befuddled. What did I do wrong? And all of a sudden, I look at my side of the stage. People must have been like 6'5". I thought, oh, it hit me. I know what I did wrong. I blew through that stop sign. And so I rolled out my window. He walks up. He goes, sir, do you know why I'm stopping you today? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, well, why am I stopping you? I go, you're stopping me because I ran that stop sign. He leans over, big old guy, leans over, looks at my window, and he goes, can you get out of the car, please? I said, sure, no problem. Got out of the car, he goes, I'm confused here. He goes, what did you just say? I go, I know why you stopped me. You stopped me because I ran that stop sign back there. He goes, hold on a minute. He goes, can I have your driver's license and insurance? I gave it to him. He walks back to his patrol car. 4 or 5 minutes, comes back, he goes, you know, I'm really confused here because I've been a CHP for over 17 years. And I've never stopped anybody and had them confess to me what they did wrong. He said, never. He takes his glasses off, puts them on his pocket. He's got his big clipboard here. Right? He's going to write me a ticket. And I was standing, oh God, don't let him write me a ticket. I'm being honest, God. I'm being honest. Babe, I'm being honest. I thought my honesty would get me out of this ticket. No. Sometimes when we're wrong, we still have to pay for our consequences.
Right. Yes, right. Right.
Because when we're wrong, we're wrong.
Yes.
Sometimes God has mercy, and sometimes man has mercy, and sometimes man doesn't have mercy, and sometimes God doesn't have mercy.
Right.
That's just the law of the harvest.
That's right.
We reap what we sow.
Right.
And so I said, you know, officer, I've got a newborn baby in the back of the car. He goes, I see this. He goes, look, I really don't want to write you a ticket. He goes, I don't. He goes, I feel bad doing this. He said, but man, I have to write you a ticket. I started pleading with him. What do you mean you have to write me a ticket? You have to write me a ticket. I'm a good guy. I got a newborn baby. I'm just going to go eat some fried chicken at my mom's house. Oh, it was fried chicken night. I'm just telling you right now. That's why I blew through that stop sign. I was hungry. It was time to eat dinner. And I happen to really love fried chicken. I'm just going to be honest. It's a weakness in my flesh. But anyways, I didn't get like this by not eating fried chicken. But anyways, so he continues to write me this big old ticket. He says, please sign. He goes, here's the deal. I have to give you a ticket so I don't have to come back out here anymore. He goes, I don't want to be out here. He goes, they made me come out here and park and watch that three-way intersection or that three-way stop sign because the lady that lives there kept saying that people run that stop sign all the time. She said, oh yeah, they always run this stop sign. And she said the other day somebody ran it and killed my cat. Now, that wasn't me. I didn't kill a lady's cat. I'm just telling you, I did. But I ran that stop sign for 2 years. Boom! Come back this way, boom! Blew through that stop sign every time. What's the purpose of stopping at a three-way stop when there's nobody there? You can see clear down the road. Well, that day I came to go visit my family, I couldn't see clear down the road, and I didn't see that CSP sitting over there because I blew through the stop sign. He goes, you know what? I'm going to write everything down, and you know what? This is going to be in your favor. So I went to court, okay, and to traffic court, and the judge told me, he said, Mr. Hoagland, because of your honesty, because of what you just made, your statement before the court, it was word for word what the officer had written down. I'm going to cut your ticket and your fine in half. Pay at the window, and the gavel will hit them. I said, well, it does pay to be honest. It does pay to be honest. Because I couldn't sit there and you like most people do, Brother Derek.
Yeah.
What did I do, officer? What do you mean, what did I do? I didn't run no stop sign. And just argued, and what's the purpose in arguing?
Right.
Where is that going to get me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Brother Hogan, what has this got to do with your message? I'm going to tell you what it has to do with my message. Abraham and Sarah made a huge mistake. They blew it. They broke God's promise because they were already told, I'm going to give you a child.
Right.
But they didn't want to wait.
Yeah.
They wanted to do things their way.
Yeah.
But God said, it doesn't have to be like this. So we see in the word of God how it continues on. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. And said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto her, or said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Listen to this. But as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. You see what happens when our spirit's right with God?
Oh, hallelujah.
God even turns our mistakes. God even turns our backslidings into something positive.
Oh, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Come on.
Oh, hallelujah.
This is great.
God can take that which was done in sin, that which was done in error, that which was done in ignorance and in disobedience, and God can turn around and put it in the face of the devil and say, you know what, Satan? You drew up this plan. You came up with this plan. Amen. To tear up my promise. To break my promise. Oh, but you're not going to be successful. Because let me show you the kind of God that I am. I can even bless somebody in their disobedience when they repent and they say they were wrong.
Amen.
You see, God doesn't bless the arrogant. God doesn't bless. Why am I on this again?
Come on, man.
Man, what am I doing here again? God help us.
Stay in the
Holy Ghost. Woo! God does not bless the arrogant.
Right.
God does not bless the proud.
Right.
Yeah.
He will not. He does not.
Right.
Because his word says he's not going to.
Right.
Oh, but when we humble ourselves.
Amen.
I said when we humble ourselves.
Right.
Why does California and this nation have so many prisons? Because men refuse to humble themselves.
Right.
Right.
You know what, Your Honor? You're right. I'm wrong. I blew it. I messed up. I'm sorry. You see, Abraham, the blessings that come from God a lot of times really are dependent upon our attitude.
Right.
Because when we got a bad attitude, amen, God does not want to bless a bad attitude.
That's right. Right. Amen.
And when we think we're smarter than God, or smarter than the pastor, or smarter than the visiting preacher, God won't bless that either.
That's right.
Absolutely. Come on.
There was somebody in a church many years ago Every time a visiting preacher came by, he always critiqued the visiting preacher. He felt his liberty to always critique the visiting preacher. I watched that man go and be from extremely successful to having almost nothing in his life. I don't gloat in that. I don't gloat in that.
Right.
But this man had a real bad habit of criticizing. He would criticize his pastor.
Right.
Because that was an obvious transgression, right?
Right.
But he didn't have a problem with criticizing the visiting preacher.
Right.
I'm going to tell you why. Because he was up here and the visiting preacher was down here.
Ooh, yeah. Right.
That's right.
Man, why am I saying all this? Woo! You know, sometimes God just likes to insert things. You know, it's kind of like a triple cheeseburger. Kind of like a triple cheeseburger. God's, we order a single, and all of a sudden we get a triple. We thought all we were going to get was a single, and all of a sudden the waitress brings out a big old triple. And the chef says, well, you know what? I thought you might need a couple of extra patties today and a couple slices of cheese because you look a little hungry. Said no chef ever.
Right.
But God says, you came to my house.
Right, right.
You were hungry.
Amen.
And all you thought you needed was a single cheeseburger. But today you're getting a triple because I know what you need. I'm the chef and I'm making dinner for you today. So just eat what you get and don't complain about it.
That's right.
Right. Right. That's good.
Amen. How many of you like a complainer? How many of you like spending your time with somebody that is a habitual complainer?
No.
Well, God didn't do this, God didn't do that, God's not going to do this, God's not going to do that.
Goodbye.
Woo! Goodbye. Sayonara. Adios, amigo.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm out.
Amen.
I got a friend, a pastor for a long time, and he used to be in the drug cartel. And he prayed through when he was 22 years old, but he was in the Mexican drug cartel. He used to sell a lot of drugs. It was crazy. He sold a lot of drugs. And he repented, and he prayed through, and he had family that went to prison, and he didn't. It was just God's grace and God's mercy, because this man ended up reaching thousands of souls. But I was talking to him one day, and he was telling me a story about a time that he was with some men, and he said, you know what, I'm out. And he just walked off. I said, what do you mean by I'm out? He goes, I'm out. I'm out of the conversation. I'm out of their atmosphere. I'm out of their life. I'm out of their world. I'm out. I'm not doing this no more. We sometimes have to do that when we're around habitually complaining people that have had bad attitudes. Church is never good. Church is never right. The air conditioner is always set wrong. The music's never good enough. The sound's never good enough. And the preacher preaches too short. And the preacher preaches too long. How many of you know of a habitual complainer? Hey, don't be shy. We got them at work. We got them in business. We got them as employees. We got them as bosses. Nothing's ever good enough for habitual complainers.
Right.
Nothing is ever good enough.
Right.
We have children that are habitual complainers.
Amen.
I'm going to park there for a minute. Some of us have got young children, and some of us have got old children, and some of us have older children. And my experiences are, is that when they get older, they get even worse.
Yeah, right.
Because they start looking back and like, well, I didn't have this, and I didn't have that, and you know, Susie had this, and Brian had that, and I didn't have that. And, you know, Dad and Mom always made a difference between the kids, and I really am just so bitter about it.
Amen.
Just get over yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Really?
Right.
Abraham was having a conversation with God. God said, you know what? I'm going to do this for Ishmael. Abraham, because you had a good attitude. And he continues on to say, and he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. God still talks to the man of God. God still talks to his people. God still talks to his children. He didn't just talk in the Old Testament. He's still talking today. People, it scares me. Well, I haven't heard from God in a very long time. Well, if you haven't been hearing from God, I'm scared. Because that means he hasn't been talking to your conscience. Your conscience hasn't been talking to you. That makes me nervous. It should make you nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you got to hear that voice that says, hey, don't do that. Hey, don't go there. Hey, don't say that. It's the checks and balances of human nature. God puts it in. Hey, don't do that.
Right.
And a lot of people do the things that they do because their consciences have been seared with the hot iron.
Right.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. Abraham took Ishmael's son, and I won't read that, but I'm going to skip down to verse number 25. I'm preaching this morning or teaching this morning. Don't let your past keep you from the promise. The promise. God has a promise for his people. You say amen.
Amen.
And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh, etc., etc. Amen. And in the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael, his son, and all of the men of his house, born in the house and bought with the money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. I want to tell us something today. We cannot allow our past to keep us from the promise. Abraham could have stood there and he could have conversed with God and he could have said, God, I blew it. I messed up. I'm not worthy to be blessed. I'm not worthy to be having a conversation with you. But God said, no, not only am I going to bless your wife, I'm going to bless your illegitimate son.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We serve a mighty God.
Yeah.
We serve a powerful God.
That's right.
We serve a beautiful God.
Yes.
Right.
He can turn our past into a blessing.
Right.
Yeah.
Woo. We got to learn from our mistakes, folks.
Right.
Amen.
This is the mercy in which we see God working here. Is that God is using our past. We can't allow the enemy to use our past. We've got to let God use our past for a positive thing.
Yes.
Amen. I want that to sink in.
Yep.
You ever heard the old saying, we've got to learn from our mistakes?
Yes.
You know, the hardest people to convince that to is our children.
Right.
Is our children. We try to sit our children down and we say, hey, you know, why don't you guys learn from my mistakes so that you don't make the same mistakes?
Right.
How many of you as a parent have ever done that? You've tried to teach your children, hey, don't do that. Dad's already done that. Mom's already done that.
Yeah.
But what happens?
They do it anyways.
They do it anyways. And it's direct defiance, not to you, but to God. Through the wisdom that God has given you. I told my son the other day, he's not here, so I'll pick on him. I said, you know why this happened? Because you just wouldn't listen to Dad. I'm just trying to be your dad. That's all. I'm just trying to be a good dad. And I'm trying to tell you, don't do that. It was real something real simple. Nothing spiritual. Just earthly. I said, but you know, don't do that. Because if you do that, it's going to be a bad deal. But you know what he did? He did it anyways.
It was a bad deal.
Yeah. Just did it anyways. I thought, huh. He's a lot like his old dad. He's got to learn the hard way, Brother Derek.
Yeah.
Right? Abraham and Sarah had to learn the hard way.
Yep.
I said Abraham and Sarah had to learn the hard way.
Amen.
And for 13 years, about 13 years went by between the birth of Ishmael to this passage of scripture, to this conversation. The word of God continues in chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah. And as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, as he had promised. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. And at the set time, God keeps his promises. God keeps his word at the set time of which God has spoken to him. If God said it, you better believe it.
Right.
If God said it, you better believe it,
right.
Because it's going to come to pass.
Amen.
Don't doubt it. Don't try to figure it out. Just let it unfold because it's going to happen.
Right.
And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, and as God had commanded him. See, Abraham's doing what God commanded him to do. He's being obedient, and he's listening, and the blessings are flowing, and the blessings are coming.
Right.
Sometimes, I feel a word from the, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Sometimes simple obedience in one given test can bring about the greatest blessings of our life.
Amen.
No extra charge. Don't get your debit cards out. Don't get your checkbook out. I don't even take cash for this, but that was free. That was free. And as I told one guy one time, you can put that in your pipe and don't smoke it.
Right.
Sometimes, young people here, Brother Hogan, in one of your greatest tests, it seems like obedience is our choice and it's an option. Can I say this to somebody? Obedience should never be an option when it comes to obeying God.
Right.
That's right.
We can break the law all day long. And we may get stopped, we may get caught, we may or may not get a ticket, but when it comes to God's promises, when it comes to God's word, it's already established. It's already settled in heaven. That which he said he was going to do and is going to do, he will do.
Yes.
He will do.
Amen.
And if he said he would never leave you, nor forsake you, that means he's never going to leave you and he's never going to forsake you.
Right.
If he said, Lord, I will be with thee until the end of time, he's going to be with us until the end of time.
Amen.
But sometimes when we're being tested and we feel like, well, this isn't a big test, this isn't a big issue, it's not a big deal. Well, to God, it's a big deal.
Yeah, right.
I said, to God, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Because it can keep us locked in a period of time for 13 years. Brother Derek, I don't want to stare at my mistake for 13 years. 13 long years. And then it was close to 14 years once Isaac was born. So for 14 years, they both had to stare at their mistake. Now, I'm not preaching a negative message. I'm preaching to go somewhere. Because we're not going to let our past keep us from our promises. This isn't a negative message. But sometimes we have a past.
Yeah.
We all have a past. But sometimes we have specific, particular things that we've done and regrets.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it's never the will of God to live in the past.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And sometimes this is what we have to do. Oh, here we go. Y'all put your seatbelts on. Fix to kick this thing into high gear. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Now listen to this. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar. Sarah saw her mistake. Sarah saw her disobedience. Sarah saw her doubt and unbelief in God's word and in God's promise. Sarah is staring right smack dab in her past.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, when she had borne unto Abraham, mocking, wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight. Listen. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For I and Isaac shall thy seed be called. Sometimes we think our past is going to keep us from the promise. But God says, not so. I'm going to let you acknowledge your past. And I'm going to use your past to help you excel into the future.
Wow. Amen.
Because you're going to learn from your mistakes, Abraham. And you're not going to be bitter. And your wife's not going to be bitter. And you're not going to have all these regrets. You're just going to learn. Check mark. Lesson learned.
Yeah. Right.
I blew it.
Yeah.
I made a mistake. But oh, I still got the promise.
Right.
I still got the promise.
Yep.
I still got the promise.
Yes. Right.
My promise is here in my arms.
Oh my God.
God honored his word.
Yeah.
God gave me a child from my wife Sarah. And we know the story, and I got to start winding down here and close this thing out. But we know the story. We know how it goes, that Abraham and Sarah, they blew it. They made a mistake, but God still blessed them. God still kept his word. But that doesn't mean there wasn't situations in the meantime.
Right. Yep.
Right.
So by the time that Abraham, by the time I believe Abraham told Hagar and Ishmael they had to go, about 17 years had passed by. About 17 years had transpired. They had to stare at their mistake and their disobedience for 17 long years. Now, I know 17 years back then isn't like 17 years today. That's just the way it is, okay? Because as the older we've gotten, our time is shortened. Amen. Right. Our days are numbered. Our days are a lot shorter than they were back in the Old Testament days. That's just the way life is. But I'm thankful this morning that Abraham, the father of us all, the father of us all, didn't just give up when he made a mistake, but he kept listening to God. And he just kept coming to church.
That's right.
He kept coming to church.
Right.
And he kept listening to the preacher preach. And he said, you know what? God's going to keep his promise.
Right. Amen.
God's going to keep his promise.
Right.
So for several hundred years passes by and transpires. And we find ourselves in the New Testament. We find that those Old Testament years are now gone. They're the past. Hundreds and hundreds of years have went past. They went by. And the stories of Ishmael and Hagar have been told over campfires. Hey, do you folks remember how Grandpa Abraham blew it? And Grandma Sarah blew it? Man, they blew it. But you know what? God didn't chop their legs off. God didn't chop their head off. He said, you know what? You're going to pay for your disobedience, but I still love you, and I'm still going to bless you. And I'm still going to keep my promise. That's the kind of God we serve.
Amen.
The world don't work that way.
No.
Yeah.
The world has no mercy.
Right.
The world has no compassion. The world has no grace.
Right.
Satan has no mercy.
Right.
Satan has no grace.
Right.
When we don't do what he wants us to do, he cuts us off.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
That's how the world works. But God doesn't work like that. That's not God's economy. We can't let our past keep us from the promise.
Right.
Amen.
It is the enemy's job to convince us that our past is going to keep us from the promise.
That's right.
Don't go to church. Don't pray. Don't repent. You're not good enough.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the Pentecostals have been coming to your door and inviting you to church and telling you God's good and God can do this and God can do that. And he's a God of mercy. He's a God of love. And he can forgive you of your past and he can give you a new future. Oh, hogwash is what Satan says. Don't fall for the lie.
Right.
Don't believe the promise.
Right.
And he keeps telling us God's not a healer. God's not a healer.
Come on.
He doesn't want us to believe God's word. He doesn't want us to accept and believe God's promise. Don't go to church. Why pay your tithe? Why pay your offerings? Why do this? Why do that? Why be obedient to the man of God? Why be obedient to the word of God? Don't go to church. So we stay locked in our sin, and we stay locked in doubt and unbelief, and we never get the promise.
Right.
We never receive the promise. We never experience the promise. We never get to receive the newness of life. Because we keep on living a mundane life in a sinful world where we get up day in and day out and we just keep doing what we've always done. And we never give God the opportunity. Amen. Musicians, would you come? Amen. To honor his promise to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see, Abraham and Sarah blew it. They didn't want to wait on God's promise. They didn't want to wait on God's word. Acts, the book of Acts, the good book of Acts.
Amen.
Amen. The word of the Lord says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you again, Elder. For the promise. Mm-hmm. I want you to hear this. The promise is unto you.
Yes.
And to your children.
Right.
And to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
The promise started with a promised child, a promised seed, a future. We fast forward through the annals of time, through wars, through pestilence, through disease, through Israel turning their back on God time after time, year after year. We see prophets come and go. We see tests and trials come and go. But the promise always stood. The promise of God is always going to stand.
Yeah.
Can we stand together this morning? Amen. For the promise, can I say, did not die. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
God's promise to us did not die in the Old Testament. His promise to us is alive even right now.
Right now.
Right now. God's promise is still true. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. Abraham was promised that in his seed should be blessed. In his seed. It was through his seed we got to where we're at. What if Abraham would have just refused to listen to God? Just absolutely refused to listen to God. And Abraham would have disobeyed God again. Where would we be today? What would have happened? We can't afford this morning to let our past keep us from the promise. It's the enemy's job to convince an individual, don't go to church. Because God doesn't love you. And God can't forgive you of your sins. Oh yes, He can. I serve a God that still forgives sins.
Amen.
I said, I serve a God that still forgives sins.
Yes.
He's still the way maker. He's still a healer. He's still the great God of the Old Testament. As in the New Testament. He's still the great God of old as He is the new. God is going to keep His promise for somebody.
Right.
I want to say this in closing. There's been a lot of distractions this morning while I've been preaching. A lot of distractions. And I did my best to preach through the distractions. Okay? This is not a rebuke. I'm just telling you folks. There's been a lot of distractions in this service this morning. A lot of distractions. And I've done my best to preach through it. I really have. So whoever this message was for, it may not have been for you. You may not have got it. You may not have cared to get it. It may not have meant nothing to you. That's okay. But there's somebody here today that God woke me up and said, remind them. Their past does not have to keep them from the promise. If you're here this morning, let's bow our heads and close our eyes together, please. If you're here this morning and you're a child of the living God and God has promised you things in your years, in your many years of walking with Him, I feel to do this right now. You've been walking with God. You've been serving God. And you believe there's been times in your life in revivals, seasons of revival in your life. Maybe your pastor, maybe just God was talking to you. In prayer, God made a promise unto you. And those promises have not yet come to pass. I want you to come up here. And I want you to stand. If God has promised you some things that have not come to pass, and you feel like your past is trying to keep you from those promises, I want to tell you this morning, hear this preacher, and hear this preacher well. God keeps his promises. And to all the naysayers that were there at the day of Pentecost and on the day of Pentecost, they stood in bewilderment. They were standing there confounded as they heard thousands of people speak in other languages that were not their own. Can I tell you what that was? God was proving that he still keeps his promises. He was confounding the wise and the prudent because they thought, oh, how can this be done? How is this? Seeing it is but the... I feel the Holy Ghost right now. We're going to sing a song of invitation, but I want to tell you somebody today, visitor, friend, the promise of the Holy Ghost is unto you and to your children and as many as are far off. For those of us who have already been filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, we've received that promise. Thank you, Father Abraham, for listening. Thank you, Sarah, for listening, for giving us the opportunity to be a part of the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's pray this morning. We're going to sing a song of invitation. This altar is open for a time of consecration. Amen. If you feel like there's promises in your life that God's made unto you that have not come to pass, I want you to come and pray for God to help you to open your eyes and your ears to understanding, to help you see this morning that our past should not and cannot and will not keep us from the promise. The Holy Ghost is here this morning. The Holy Ghost is here this morning. The Holy Ghost wants to fill a life and fill a soul today. In Jesus' name, I pray, God, break the back of what I'm feeling, God, right now. Break the back of the resistance that I feel right now, God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Yadda bo shanta, yadda bo shanta.